is on fire. Rest of me, Mark.
Nine.
What?
Kachmir, Peter.
Are you being German?
Ja.
Oh, Marky Mark.
Ich habe ein Vokab. Dinkel?
What?
Small.
Small.
What's small?
Grand.
Gross. No, that's French for fat. Hang on.
Grosser.
Nein, nicht grosser.
Nicht grosser.
Das Ute. Sebastian.
Sebastian. Did you do a German at school?
Ja.
Ah.
Vor drei Jahre. es war many Jahre. Agun.
Beautiful.
I was shite at German.
Absolutely. Really?
I know.
Really? Wow.
I know. I've got better over the years. I'm not very good at it. Is that like if we were like two Germans doing, I think it's catch they call it in Germany, wrestling. If we were two like Germans doing it and we did catch me, it would be like sort of going, today we're doing a Marty Jones thing. And it would be like us opening going, hello there, old
hello there,
boy.
Old chap. Who wants a cup of tea? What?
I am an isolationist, people.
We want to be alone.
My newspapers are jingoistic. amazing. Of course. What else could we be doing? But talking about two of the most talented German wrestlers of their generation. Today we're looking at a match that happened earlier this year, only a few months ago.
I know, right? Is this the most recent thing we have reviewed?
It is, by a couple of months. So we do talk about, we're going to be doing the AEW Stadium Stampede.
Lovely.
And that happened in the early summer. But this match itself is from, can you tell it? I'm trying to find it on my
We've just come from
notes.
Brawl for All. We just recorded Brawl for
find
All.
Find out when it... 29th of October!
29th of October!
19. No, that's wrong. It is 2020. I've written the wrong thing. And this is a match between Walter and Ilya Dragunov that was part of NXT UK's weekly special. This is one of the first matches that they recorded once things sort of started up again in Britain. NXT UK was in a bit of a terrible situation. Mm. So when the pandemic hit, there was lots of talk that after the speaking out sort of movement broke, a number of the people who worked for NXT UK were implicated in that and were let go. And there was a sense that with it, the pandemic going on and on, with NXT UK not being able to be filmed, that the WWE might decide to cut their losses and just scrap it.
Yeah.
When it finally came back, people, you know, they basically had sort of said, stay tuned for an announcement about NXT UK. And this must have happened in September. And everyone was like, here we go. The axe is coming down. Mm-hmm. And actually they said, we're going to be filming some more stuff. And everyone was like, that is a surprise. and what they did was
got a long lease.
No. Well, they'd recently, WWE, after many, many years, have come off Sky. Mm. Their Sky deal ended. And they re-signed for a lot less money to BT Sports. Right. And so they decided they would do the closed arena filming, not in the Performance Center in NXT UK, which is in Enfield.
Yeah.
They decided they would use the BT Sports Studios. And the BT Sports Studios are based in the Queen Elizabeth Park in Stratford.
I've been there. I've done a bit of work there.
Yeah.
In one of the studios.
Well, you've been to the site of this
match. I see.
It was obviously closed arena. They'd done some boxing, I think, BT Sports. So it was all set up for that. And it actually looked spectacular. And what this was this was a match that is between two talents that I think are absolutely two of the best talents of their generation. I think they are fantastic performers. But it was one of the first ones where WWE had actually used that closed arena setting to their advantage. In the era of no crowds, which hopefully will only be going on for another year or so, in this era, this is the first one where the lack of a crowd became a virtue for the finished piece. Largely as well, that was because these two men, a lot of their great appeal relies in the fact that they don't really hold back anything.
No, they're very strong, aren't
so
they?
So have you seen both of them perform before?
No, never heard of them before, never going to, just didn't run into them at all. And I wouldn't want to because they look tough.
Yes, what are your initial thoughts?
Again, it was just very, 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 very strong style.
Very strong style.
And I enjoy the name Walter as a, because it's kind of Walter Mitty. It just reminds me, you know when you call someone a Walter, it's like someone who's like in the TA and thinks he's fucking Bravo to Zero or some shit, you know.
I think for me, for me, like the big cultural touchstone on this is Walter the Softy from
yes,
the Beano.
Yeah.
If you say Walter in this country, it's very much a sort of drippy
name.
It
is a drippy name,
like,
yeah.
You know, it'd be like having a German called Gladys or sort of Petunia, you know. And Walter, it's a strange thing because it is just a surname, just a single name, rather. Mm. So it is, I can't think of many other wrestlers that are just called like Brian.
Yeah, because it is a soft, yeah, I don't know what. Maybe it means something a little, in America, maybe it sounds a little more like authoritative. But yeah, over here, you're right.
They have never also quite worked out whether it's Walter or Volta. Because in Germany, well, he's actually from Austria. Mm. He's from Vienna. He's 33 years old. He's been wrestling for ages. It feels like I've been seeing him for about 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, farmhand? He looks like a farmhand. He looks like he's got the build of a farmhand.
He does, doesn't he? He has the look of, or from a very, very small village. Yeah. Where there's a certain amount of bloodline commingling, and they give birth to these great big oxen
gigantic
boys.
Gigantic men.
Yeah, like hands like fucking bin
lids. So what's your job, Walter? I squeeze things into small packages and throw them into the chipper.
I have to kill the cows, which I do by punch. Is he telling you he's allowed to kill the cows? He's not allowed to kill the cows. I kill the cows.
Walter, get on the lower field. Get back to the lower field.
You need to move the lumber. I will move the forest.
Yeah, you know. He has to do it at night because what he does is spectacular.
I don't want to go back to the circus.
You'll not go back to the circus if you move lumber. He really made his name in WXW in Germany, which is their big independent federation. Mm. A number of names over the years, but they've always... It's that weird thing about you sort of go, oh, good, he's had a number of names. So he's not always been Walter.
Yeah.
No, they've all been variations of Walter.
Steven.
So he's been Big Van Walter.
Big Van Walter. Yes, I did write that one down. Yeah.
He's been Big Daddy Walter.
Is that Big Daddy Cool? Big Van Walter?
It could be just Big Daddy, yeah. You know. I've seen it described before as well. So I've seen him called Peter Walter.
Peter
so Peter, like, Peter Walter. I suppose that's a sort of like, I don't think that's the German.
Like Peter Czech, the Czech.
No, it's not. I don't think it's like Peter. I think it's like father.
Pater.
So like, yeah, Peter, Pater.
Father Walter.
And a Man Mountain Walter as well.
That works for me.
A lot of those have been stolen from other wrestlers. So Man Mountain Rock was a performer in WCW as Max Payne, but he called himself Man Mountain Rock when he was wrestling in Germany.
Right.
You've also obviously got Big Van Walter, that's Vader. Vader also wrestled in Germany quite a lot. He wrestled for the CWA. So he is taking the names of other wrestlers that would be known to a German wrestling crowd.
Mm.
Sort of a strange decision. I'm Ray Walter Jr. You know, really weird decision. Zack Sabre Walter. That's my new name. He really just made his name in Europe, which is an unusual thing until recently, where WCW is regarded as being one of the premier sort of independents in the world. They have actually signed a deal with the WWE Network, so a lot of their stuff is now available there. Largely, that deal was signed because they were aware they had early matches of Walter and Ilya Dragunov. So those were two people signed to NXT UK. And so when the deals were going through, I think they had their eye on those guys and they knew that that back catalogue would be, you know, impressive to have. He was in 2007, he had a brief stint in 01, which is a Japanese organisation. And I think that's where I first saw him. I think they might have put some new 01 on the wrestling channel before it folded.
Right.
And I think I first saw him there and his name, it stuck out. What's funny is for 10 years, you would see him every now and then. And you thought nothing of him. He was quite a big fat boy.
Mm.
He was a big fat boy.
Big fat boy.
And he wasn't the biggest guy, certainly in the 2000s. There were lots of jacked up guys and things. And he just looked a bit pudgy and a bit doughy. And he looks very much like the soldier that goes mad in Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. Yeah, he's got a look of that guy.
This one is mine, that guy.
That's the one. The one who has
full
to...
Full Metal Jacket.
He has to clean the toilets with the toothbrush and he just goes loopy.
Yeah.
That's very much what Walter looks like to me. But he did start getting over when he began coming over more frequently to the UK. He performed in Progress from about 2015. I saw him in Revolution Pro in York Hall in 2016. He had a match against Big Damo. Northern Irish wrestler who signed to WWE as Killian Dane. He performs.
That's a bit cooler.
It's better than Big Damo.
Big Damo.
But I think he lost that match. He was good. He was hard hitting, and he sort of stood out. I think at that point he was still called Big Daddy Walter, And it just, you just sort of went, ah, oh, you know, it's definitely, definitely it's not all there, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
But he got over. He was surprisingly hard hitting. Within a couple of years, he had just absolutely perfected his act, which was that he was this sort of relentless, big, brawny, aggressive bully.
Mm.
And he stood out because really in independent wrestling, there'd been an explosion of either very, very technically gifted men or very good, fast, high-flying guys. Your Will Ospreys, your Zack Sabre Juniors, your Marty Scurlls, your Mark Haskins. All these guys who were, you know, small but putting on incredible matches. And what you didn't really have was many monsters. And Walter came out at a time when European wrestling didn't really have monsters.
Yeah.
And he is a astonishingly good big brute wrestler. One of the things that really, really started getting him over was his chops.
Right.
So he would do these merciless chops, mate, with his great big hands on these tiny men's chests.
The tiny man of Ilya Dragunov is his at the end is it's almost bloody.
It is.
It almost
yeah.
starts exuding blood. You know.
Yeah. There is a really, really good photo taken, I think, by a guy called Beyond Gorilla, and it's one of those Walter pictures that if you type in Walter on Google Images, it's one of the first ones that comes up.
Right.
And it's him delivering a chop to a wrestler called Josh Bodum. And it catches the moment where his hand has landed on Bodum's chest and Bodum's pectoral muscle has just
rippling.
Bulged out. There's a round disc where the muscle has just been pushed out. It's just unbelievable. One of the things that really, really, I think got him over was he was performing.
Yeah, I can see
it.
Oh,
you've changed colour a bit.
Oh, mate. He hasn't got enough fat on him to do that. Like, it's...
Well, it's simple physics, Pete.
He's like he's made out of plasticine.
It's simple physics. If Walter hits you hard enough, what he hits has to go somewhere. It has to go somewhere.
Oh, Walter, that is too hard. No, Walter.
Much too hard.
Go back to the forest.
I think he really got over as well because the type of venues he was performing at, they weren't stadiums and they weren't arenas. They were
fucking
small
reverberate
places. Yeah. And if you've got 200 people in a room and you're 30 centimetres away from the ring, when he does one of those, it's like a shotgun going off. It's unbelievable. From 2016, he has a match in America. He goes to PWG, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. Takes part in a couple of their tournaments, but doesn't really go very far. And he has his first win on his sort of 3-day tour against Zack Sabre Jr. in a match that suddenly gets 5 stars from the Wrestling Observer. They are just like, that was incredible. From that match onwards, Walter has been a main eventer anywhere he goes in the world. It's just astonishing. Something just clicked about it. And whether it was people just going, isn't he the best? He just seems incapable of doing anything that isn't main event worthy. Mm. I've seen him a lot. So I've seen him in progress. I saw him doing a match for WXW in Tufnell Park Dome. And Tufnell Park Dome is a room above a pub. A big room above a pub in North London.
Yeah.
And they brought over WXW. I think there were 300 people in the room, and I was probably a metre away from the ring.
Mm.
He was in the main event. It was Walter versus Ilya Dragunov versus, and this is a tale of two halves, David Starr versus Travis Banks. And the four of them put on an incredible match.
Yeah.
But being close to Walter, he is a phenomenon. He is just, he's like a sort of, with the kind of guys who are the stature they are now, he's almost sort of equivalent to being Andre the Giant back in the 80s when the guys were taller, if you see what I mean. And he is just a dominating physical giant. And his sheer impact, the impact of what he does is amazing. Being 30 centimetres away from it is a little bit like being much too close to fireworks. It's just...
the Hadron Collider.
You are... even when it's not lit, you're sort of a bit tense.
Yeah.
And then when it's going off, you're really like, this is too close. I am much, much too close. He always said he wouldn't sign with WWE, and that was because he didn't want to leave Germany, where he lives. You know, he said, I don't want to move to America. I'm not interested. They put lots of feelers out to him, and he was just like, no, I'm perfectly happy, thank you. I have my own wrestling school here, I train. What I do is not deemed illegal in Germany. It may well be in the other parts of the world.
Yeah, you can sue people quite easily in America, can't
you? But when NXT UK came along, there was more of a sense of them saying, well, you know, look what we've done.
Yeah.
And part of NXT UK, not only to you know, take advantage of the UK scene, was that they could essentially have a bridge into Europe as well. Mm. There have been lots of talks more recently that NXT might be rebranded as NXT Europe, because it does sort of also take Germany. It would be strange if you were like NXT Germany and they were like, we used to use a load of British wrestlers.
Yeah, NXT UK.
You know.
Yeah, I think, presumably with Brexit, that's going to make, you know, it's going to make shows a lot more difficult for a lot of people.
What's really interesting is how that will actually affect British scene. Yeah. I mean, suddenly you've got to a point where, I mean, a lot of British wrestling, and less so in recent years, but a lot of British wrestling has been about big imports. Mm. Imports are always paid more because imports sell more tickets. And there is that sense that if you can't get the people who, like, you know, wrestling fans want to see, when you say we're bringing over Walter and Ilya Dragunov and they're going to have that is going to be harder now. There is going to be additional costs. Yeah. There are going to be, you know, paperwork. Whether or not you'll just be allowed to work, you know, for one night in Britain, who knows? No one seems to be able to tell anyone. I think this is going to be a really worrying, that the triple punch of the speaking out movement changing a lot of the British wrestling landscape, the pandemic, which has left a lot of promoters, you know, struggling, and God knows when they'll come back and how they'll come back. And then Brexit, with the whole idea that, I mean, undoubtedly it's going to be, you know, there'll be a drop in the pound. It's going to be really, really difficult to get people from abroad to come over. Mm. You suddenly realise that sense of what a golden era we had, that you could just get the best people to come in and they could just get on a train and they'd be there and they'd perform and they'd go home that night.
But so it helped the UK scene, but you know, you take the UK out of Europe and combined with that UK scene, they would have gone over to Germany, they would have done a show in France, they would have done a show all around Europe, and they wouldn't have to worry about the shit. So why would they bother? Why would they chin off the rest of Europe to deal with one or two house shows in the UK? Just concentrate on Europe, do it on the mainland, and then they don't have to worry about the UK. The UK needs Europe more than in this sense, and in many other senses, it needs the Europe more than.
Do you know what's really funny though? For someone like WXW, the German organization, they always had, certainly in recent years, for their big shows, a lot of British fans would travel over. Mm. I mean, you know, and not like 10 or 20, we're talking 100, you know, and you would get that sort of, that sense of it being, you know, it's so horrible to think about, but that sense about going hands across the ocean and we're all together and that comradeship and stuff like that, that is all going to be very different. Mm. And I think, you know, WXW will suffer from that. If people can't go and see it from Britain, you are losing all those people who used to sort of go, it's a great time of the year. We, you know, you do WrestleMania weekend and people would often do WXW weekend. Yeah. I think it's, another reason not to fucking go through this nightmare. Walter, anyway, he does sign to NXT UK, obviously. And at NXT TakeOver in New York, which was the night before WrestleMania in 2019, Walter defeated Pete Dunne to win the United Kingdom Championship. Pete Dunne had held it for 685 days. Walter has, I think, now held it for over 550. He just seems like a very dominant champion. Anytime they put him in any match, it's phenomenal. He's also one of those rare people that they sort of go, we understand that your matches are better when they're over half an hour. Mm. So routinely they will give him half an hour, because every time they do, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
His match against Tyler Bate at, I think, NXT TakeOver Cardiff is really seen as being one of the matches of the year. I mean, it was just astonishing. But they give him more leeway than they give anybody else in the entire organization. And I think it's because, like a lot of that Vince McMahon thing, and I don't think Vince McMahon is particularly sort of involved in NXT UK or Walter, but there is that thing of the more that you refuse to do business with Vince McMahon, the better he will treat you. And with Walter going, I don't really want to sign, I'm not going to do it, I'm not coming to America, they sort of go, you shall have it all. In this, he's going up against Ilya Dragunov. And the two men have had a very, very long history together. They both sort of went through WXW together. They've had a number of main events that have all been spectacular. Ilya Dragunov is sort of fascinating backstory. He was born in Moscow in Russia, and he moved to Germany with his mother when he was 5 years old. Neither of them could speak a word of the German language. And he grew up very, very poor. There's a story that he tells where he recalls as a child having to beg his mother to buy him a Twix because they couldn't afford it, you know. Mm. That again, it seems mental that someone like in the, what, late 80s, grow up in the poverty, that a Twix is the thing that's sort of unattainable. He worked every single odd job he could as he was growing up. He worked at a pizza parlor, he worked at a petrol station, and then finally wrestling came into his life. In his words, he said, I don't feel like I chose wrestling. Wrestling chose me. He debuted in 2012, and he quickly became phenomenally good. He is so crisp and so fast and so sort of aggressive. There is such sort of like, there's something about him, his look as well.
Yeah.
He looks a bit like a sort of minor royal. He's got a sort of like that aristocratic Prussian sort of anemic look. But he could be a vampire as well. There's just loads of sort of bits about him. Every single match he takes part in, he is not only incredibly, you know, good at the strong style, it seems like he's going to die. It seems like he is going to be beaten so badly that his heart will stop and his body will die and he will decompose into ashes. He makes it look like wrestling is the hardest thing you could ever do. But he does that in a really good way, you know, in the positive way that he does that. He just will not die. That's the sort of thing about Ilya that is amazing. By having that thing about going, I will not die, you always open up the possibility that he can beat anyone. Because you sort of go, he's been to this, you know, through hell, but we've seen him do this before, and he can come back and he can make it convincing. It never seems like, you know, he's just going from one gear to another. He does everything. It's just like a sort of like a concerto in the way that he puts it together. His big thing that he shouts is unbesiegbar, which is English for invincible.
Right.
There's something great about that. I'm a Russian German who's invincible. He's like a Captain America villain. Sort of. I think he's great. Both of them obviously were raised in WXW, and they have met several times before this match. They were in the finals of the 16-carat gold tournament in 2017, which is one of WXW's big sort of events. It's a tournament that takes place. This match here is their 10th match together. They have had a couple of sort of no endings, but Walter has won 2 and Ilya Dragunov has won 6.
Right.
And I like the fact that they've always set the two of them like Walter destroys everyone, but there's one guy he just can't quite get the handle on, and that's Ilya. They are proper nemeses. That's the thing I just love about it. The idea that they've been having this match through time immemorial. They have always been having this match. They will always have this match. And it just becomes this amazing storied rivalry. Ilya signed to NXT in January 2019. And he is the first ever genuine Russian to be signed to WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everybody else, your Nikolai Volkovs, your Boris Zukovs, your Ivan Koloffs, your Lanas, your Rusevs,
yeah,
none of them are actually from Russia.
Right, okay.
He is the first Russian taken till 2019. You think how many Russians you've seen in WWF over the years?
I mean, I guess some of them were USSR, but it doesn't, you know, it's not Russia, is it?
He's literally from Moscow. He's done great.
Wow.
And this match, I mean, holy fuck. There is no other WWE match that is like this match. Just, it's so hard hitting and no let up.
No, I don't even know. How long is it? I don't even know.
It's quite long. I think it's something like nearly half an hour.
Yeah. It's just a strong... You can't, like... If someone saw you watch it, they'd be like, what are you fucking... What? Like, why that looked like it really hurt? Like, there's not... This, why is it silent?
Yes.
Like, it's... I remember sort of walking at Leicester Town Centre near the university. I'd gone back after a few years of leaving the university, and we'd gone out for a drink and stuff, and it was like something like 11 o'clock, and we were going for a night out and walking into town. We walked past the James Went building, which is probably knocked down now. I'm more certain it's knocked down now. This horrible kind of brutalist kind of monstrosity. And these two lads just having a scrap.
Mm-hmm.
One of them had slept with the other one's girlfriend, and they were just having a really sexy little secret fight. and we stopped them fighting, and we're like, you can't just be fucking beating. And all you could hear was... And they were just brain shitting at each other, and we couldn't let them keep on because you know, it could have turned particularly, but no. And the other guy was going, no, let him hit me. And the sound of it reverberating around the thing was just so fucking chilling. And this, the slaps and just like it gets like Walter, like just use him like a rag doll and just throwing him onto and it's beautifully put together. It's nicely put together, but the fact that it's being done without an audience makes it somehow worse.
It does. It looks like a weird sort of stream.
Walter can put his feet up really high as well.
Really can. There's a couple of bits where he's punching, and suddenly it's not a fist, it's a foot.
Yeah.
It's just up there.
Incredible.
Like, how did you do that? There are some great bits in this. They set up a really basic pro wrestling story that Ilya Dragunov, he gets, Walter sort of chucks him out of the ring.
Mm.
And Ilya, his neck bounces off the ropes and it sort of whacks back onto the thing.
Mm.
That is one of those things that I think, you know, you look at and you go, oh, look nasty and everything. But that is actually, I mean, it can be fatal, that.
Mm.
Most of the wrestling deaths that have happened in recent years have largely been people being whiplashed off the ropes. Most famously, Pero Aguayo Jr., who was in a match with Rey Mysterio. He caught his head on the bottom rope and it just whiplashed into the ring.
Mm.
So Ilya is there going, well, we'll do that. We'll do that. Doesn't seem like a great idea. But he spends the whole time just holding his neck. And he does it so convincingly, that sort of stiff neck, that watching it, I was like, this is making my fucking neck ache. And I was sort of going, don't pull into that because you'll give yourself a bad neck.
Yeah.
And he just does it so well the whole time. He's not got that thing of going, ooh, my neck, and like holding it. It's just a funny slight angle.
Mm.
And it twinges every now and then. You go, ugh. Like that. It's so well done. But these two guys, it's that brilliant thing of just going, I'm watching two proper professional wrestlers who are basically showing you the skills that they learnt outside of WWE.
Mm.
This match does not feel like any other WWE match that's taken place. It's impossible not to look at it. And I think the commentary, they sort of go, this is like a classic Japanese match. And it really is. It's that thing of going, we don't come from where you come from.
Yeah.
But bringing in those different styles where you go, yeah, this is much better than the stuff we normally see. The noise in the place as well is chilling. But also that Ilya Dragunov, because he's got this very, very pale, light skin, he's a sandy boy, basically.
He's a sandy
boy. One of those guys whose the forehead, until it goes red, is the same colour as his hair.
Yeah.
And every time Walter gives him one of these absolute nightmarish cracks, it just, you know, that all the blood vessels are pop. I'm just gone. And he looks like he's basically... If you found a body in a river and it had been there for 4 days and it came out and you'd go, it's got bluish discoloration here, red marks here. As if you know, before obviously you call the police, you like to do an autopsy.
Yeah.
You like to act like
a coroner. Make some incisions,
Now I wonder what the cause of death is. COD, I call it. that's what we all do. And I love them shouting in German as well, because I think there is that thing of going, I like the idea that we're watching the best of everything internationally.
Yeah.
I don't like that sort of sense of WWE is the only place. And they've got better at that over the years.
Mm.
But that thing of just going, here is a different style done by different people who are being allowed to be themselves. And what the themselves is this centuries-old feud that cannot end, that they just brutalize each other wherever they are in the world.
Yeah.
And, the best thing about this is it's a match that after it, both men are bigger stars than they were before.
Mm.
For the past year, Ilya Dragunov has been slightly sort of lost in the shuffle. He's always had that slight thing in this country of never being as big as he was in Germany. And a match like this, it makes Walter look like a bigger star because he's just gone through this absolute nightmare war and he's finally managed to get this guy not to tap out even, but just the referee to stop it when he's unconscious in the sleeper hold. And Ilya Dragunov is someone who's pushed Walter to the limit, having, you know, previously been slightly sort of anonymous within NXT. And you just, a match like that, it finishes and both men are bigger stars. That is just a perfect, perfect match.
Yeah.
You know, that you went in at the start, you went, this is going to be good. And at the end, you go, these two are the biggest people on the brand. Just absolute booking perfection.
Cracking.
I loved it.
Mm, me too.
Would you like to see more Germans wrestle?
Yes, I would.
Or less Germans wrestle?
I would like to see more, please.
Well, there we have it. I had nothing to offer you. I'm really... Oh, I tell you what I have got, though.
What?
I bought you a little Christmas present.
Oh, at the end of the show. Well, okay,
yeah.
Right.
I haven't got it yet.
No. Okay.
But as soon as I have,
okie dokie,
I'll be posting it to you.
Interesting.
Someone's going to be watching the DVD of Money Plane.
Is it out on DVD yet?
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, yes.
I knew I bought a Blu-ray HD DVD and a 50-odd-inch telly for
Good
Money Plane.
Good news.
Darling,
you're going to love it.
I found a film for tonight.
Is it Money Plane?
We've been waiting for such a long time.
It's a Kelsey Grammer.
It's got Frasier in it. Why are all these actors back? They're all wrestlers.
There is a very good article called An Oral History of Money Plane, where they talk to the men who came up with it. And I think one of the first questions someone asks is, they say, so is it like a pun on Money Train, you know, which was a Wesley Snipes film? And they were like, what?
What?
Money played me, Pete!
Money played me, Mark!
This was a Stakhanov production.